I've not left John 3:16, but I'm not going to actually begin there by reading anything from that passage itself. But I began to think about this because I'm dealing with this fact: for God so loved the world. And living in this present world is a very difficult thing to do. Very difficult thing to do as we struggle, heartbroken and discouraged and trodden down, and sometimes just you don't know whether you're going to go on any further. You feel as though you're ready to just give up, quit. Now, while religion deals with fairy tales and fables of heaven on earth, God's people face reality.
It's true.
And folks, we are made to face reality. Whether you want to or not, God's going to make you face reality. And by God's grace, by His grace, we seek to do so in faith.
Yes, sir.
That's what I want to do. Now, I have to face reality because I believe God. And I hope I can state this the proper way. I have to face reality because I believe God. I know God, God's hand. Not just God's in control, but I'm saying God's hand is right there in everything. So I have to face reality. But in facing reality, because I believe God, I still want to do that in faith. I want to do so by God's grace, wherein I bow down and can say, may not, or can know, as the Apostle Paul said, may not can always say it. He didn't say, and we say. He says, and we know that all things work together for good.
Yes, sir.
To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Sometimes things are very, very difficult. But the difficulties are heightened by the fact that as a believer, our desire is to walk in a manner which honors God.
Yes, sir.
Now, if your desire is not to walk in a manner that honors God, then you're not a believer.
That's it.
But as we desire to do so, desire to walk in a manner that honors God and to honor the doctrine of His grace in Christ, I do not want to be a source whereby the enemies of God find occasion to blaspheme my God. And there are times when I have thoughts, as I mentioned, I have these thoughts. If only we could call fire down from God out of heaven. Yet, when I begin to think about this, that is not being a source whereby the enemies of God find some occasion to blaspheme our God. This is an area which I must constantly be mindful that a false standard exists. Now I pray God will give every one of us, myself including, ears to hear this morning. Because there is a false standard that exists.
Right.
Now let me just try to explain. The world expects us as Christians. Now you realize that the word Christian, even today, in many places, the word Christian, and as far as I can find by doing study of ancient studies of different writings, the word Christian was not a name given in the sense of honor. It was a name of derision. And it still is today. It still is today. It's like a lot of people today. And I'll use one that most of us probably at least have heard a lot about because it's mentioned. Some of us have maybe firsthand acquaintance with it, but it's the same thing as somebody calling you a hard shell. It's not the same thing, but that's what we're talking about. They don't do it in honor of the glorious gospel of the sovereign God. It's a matter of derision, but I will gladly bear those titles. Christian, hard shell if they want to. I mean, hyper-Calvinist, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, they've called me a lot worse things than that. They've called me a Baptist before. also, you know.
Yeah.
And that can be just as bad, can't it? But the world expects us as Christians, now listen, to be meek, compassionate, understanding, merciful, gracious, and here we get back to where I was, and loving. Now, first of all, let me say with this principle itself, I do not disagree. I do not disagree that God's people ought to be meek, compassionate, understanding, gracious, forgiving, and loving. I don't disagree with that. But first of all, briefly, when you compare John 3:16, now think about it. For God so loved the world. Okay?
Sorry.
The world expects us as Christians, then, we're to be loving. And, of course, all through the Scripture talks about love. But let me say this about what I said, I guess it was week before last, wasn't it? It's much more than how many God loved.
Yeah.
Now, let me make it plain. I do not agree with this world's opinion as to how many God loved.
Yeah, you're
because
right.
God does not love everybody.
That's right.
But it's much more than that. It's not a matter of merely how many God loved. It's a matter of how God loved. For God so loved the world.
Amen.
That he gave his only begotten Son. That's the thing. It's the kind of love we're talking about.
That's right.
That's what we're talking about. There is a love that is of this world. And that's the kind of love the world thinks God has for all of them.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of love the world demands you have for them.
That's it.
But I'm telling you, that's not the love of God. It is not.
You're right.
It isn't. Now, with the fact that being meek, loving, compassionate, understanding, merciful, forgiving, all of these things, I do not disagree with that principle whatsoever. But the problem arises from the standard on which the world defines these traits.
Yeah.
And the standard on which God sees them for us. Now, let me say that I'm not talking about God has to go by some standard. Because God is his own standard. God's his own standard. But the book speaks of our being meek, compassionate, loving, forgiving, gracious, all of these things. But the problem arises, we have to be careful, we have to be constantly mindful not to see that it has nothing to do with the world's opinion of what these things are. And I'm here to say this world has no idea what the love of God is. They have no idea what the compassion of God is. Now, if the standard is wrong, then the whole system fails by reason of the standard itself. Thus, if the world blasphemes the truth, by reason of my disobedience to the truth, I am at fault. You hear me? But if they blaspheme by reason of their own standard of the truth and their opinion that I have broken that standard and the standard is wrong,
yeah,
then I am guiltless in God's sight, though guilty in their sight. Now let me say clearly, I'm not suggesting that we as believers are sinlessly perfect before God in our walk. But I am saying this, that we can be actually guilty before the world. I mean actually guilty before the world of not loving the world.
Yeah.
Okay? Of not loving one another by the world standards.
Yeah.
We can be actually guilty before the world, but that does not mean we have disobeyed the truth of God.
You're right.
Matthew chapter 12. Let me just read a passage. At that time, Jesus, just Matthew 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. Now, I suppose this was something like wheat or something.
It was wheat.
Wheat. And his disciples were an hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did? When he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and did eat that shew bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law, how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, and are blameless?
Yes, sir.
Seems to be a total contradiction in terms, don't it? But Christ is saying something here.
Yes, sir.
They profane the literal letter of the law itself. Why? They circumcise a child on the Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. So the law of Moses be not broken, but at the same time, they're breaking the law of Moses. See? But he says they're blameless. Blameless. Now, not sinless, but they did not break the law. They're not trying to disobey God.
That's right.
Now, if you just looked at it, what are you going to see? By your opinion, by the world's opinion, well, they're profaning the Sabbath. Were they? In the letter of the law, in their physical actions? Maybe, yeah. But they're blameless.
Amen.
Because they're doing what God commanded. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice.
That's right.
Ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day.
That's right.
Now think about this. If someone... Now they talk about us being Christians, right? Supposed to be meek, loving, compassionate, understanding, forgiving, merciful, gracious, all these things. If someone is like Christ, and we condemn by the world's standards, then who have we actually condemned? This is what, you see what he says? If you'd known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For, why? Because the disciples in and of themselves are guiltless? No. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day.
That's right.
Now think about this. Primarily, the world views being a Christian as being an emulator of Christ, copying Christ. And usually they say we are to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
They rarely say we're to be like Christ. They rarely say we're to be like the Lord. But usually they say we are to be like Jesus. Now I have some problems with that term even in and of itself, but I'm going to go ahead and use it. Go ahead and use it. But I want us to begin to try. I want us to try to look at some of this. However, before I do, let me first of all start by saying that being a Christian is primarily to be a worshiper of Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means to be a follower of Christ. It means to be a believer in Christ and a lover of the gospel of Christ, a defender of the gospel of Christ, in spite of the fact that our character is far lacking compared to his. And in spite of the fact that our personality traits are very flawed compared to his. To be truly like him in its fullest sense is something that the believer is yet awaiting. Right?
Right.
Isn't that what John says, 1 John 3? But I want us to see something else here. Think about this. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Yes, sir.
Right? And folks, even now, we're the sons of God.
Yes,
and he goes on to say, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him.
Amen.
For we shall see him as he is. That's when I'll truly be like Jesus.
That's it.
That's when I'll be like Christ. But look at this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And think about it. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not.
That's it.
Now, if the world doesn't know him, and the world tells you, but you ought to be more like Jesus, you can guarantee this one thing. The world has no idea who they're talking about, because they don't know him.
That's it.
You're right. Truly, we are the sons of God now, and our desire even now certainly is to be like him to that extent in which it might be possible. But as the world then knew him not, I will say this. You may argue, I don't know if anyone here would, but people may argue, but let me tell you, it presently knows him not. It still doesn't know him. Therefore, it presently knows us not.
Exactly.
So how can the world know the standard? Tell me to be like Christ, they don't even know who Christ is.
That's right.
The fact is, when the world says we are not like Jesus, that's probably the time when we're most like him. The world may know of the historical events of the works of Christ. Okay, they know that he healed. They know he went about doing good, right? He fed the hungry. Right? I mean, he helped the demon possessed. They know the historical events of the works of Christ. But let me say, they don't know the work of Christ.
That's right.
Because John 3:17 says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Not that the world through believing might be saved, though believing's a part of it, but it's that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
They don't know that work.
Yeah.
They don't know the work. They don't know that, and I'm not going to deal with that. Though the world may know of the historical events of the works of Christ, yet they have a distorted and willingly blinded mind to the true character of the person behind those works. See, they know of the historical events, but they don't know who that person is.
You're right.
Not just was, who he is. Now let me just show you a case in fact. Somebody says, well, we should be like Jesus. I'll just use myself as an illustration because I don't want to embarrass anybody else. Well, maybe I'd like to, but I'm not going to. Let's say a man comes to me. I'm talking about a man, a male. A man comes to me. He has an infectious disease. And he's my own skin color. He's of my race. He's of my own nationality, however you might want to put that. And he begs me to help him on the basis that he knows I can if I just will. He has an infectious disease. He's supposed to be quarantined. But he runs up to me and he begs me to help him. You know what I do? I reach out and I embrace him. I touch him. And I help him. Now, what's the world say? What compassion. What mercy. What love. Right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they tell me that's what I'd just done?
Sure.
Sure. Now, later, same person, me. A woman comes to me, a female. She is not of my skin color. She is not of my nationality. She is not of my race. And she begs my help, not even for herself, but on behalf of somebody else. You know what I do? I ignore her.
That's right.
I ignore her. My buddies... You all, so I'm going to have to embarrass you a little bit. My buddies tell me, get rid of her. Get rid of her. And I respond, not by helping her, but by saying that I'm not here to help anybody but the needy of my own kind.
That's right.
Boy, what a fella this must be.
Yeah.
She persists to beg me to help her.
That's right.
And I respond, not with an embrace like I did the man, who's of my own race, my own skin color. I respond not with an embrace, but I turn around and say to her, it's not proper for me to take the needy's provision and throw it away to a dog like you.
That's right.
Now, people, the world would see this. You let Walter Pendleton do this, and what would they say?
Oh, yeah.
Even though, finally, I help her. And she will admit that I was right. I was right.
Yeah.
And I help her. But still yet, you do that. Let Walter do that. And what do you think the world's going to say?
Yeah.
What would the world say by their standards of love and compassion and understanding? Well, first of all, to the least, it would certainly be political incorrectness. And you don't want to call anybody a dog. Right? Bigotry. He's a bigot. He's a male chauvinist. Boy, what a condescending person he is. Boy, what inequality. Look what he did and the way he treated the man. Look how he treated the woman. You know, that was just downright mean. Huh? That would be mean. But this is the very case with our Lord, folks. I mean, that leper, and no, it doesn't say he was a Jew, but any time somebody came to Christ that wasn't a Jew, the Scripture says so, don't it, Earl?
Yeah.
And here comes a leper who's supposed to cry, unclean, unclean, unclean.
Yeah.
And whom another Jew wasn't supposed to go touch.
That's right.
And yet he comes, he don't cry unclean, and he falls down before Christ and says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Christ touched him and said, I will, be thou clean.
Amen.
But this Syrophoenician Gentile woman came to him and said, Lord, help me for my daughter's sake. And he answered her not a word. He ignored her.
That's right.
And the disciple said, send this Gentile woman away. Lord, get rid of her.
Yep.
And he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she cried again, Lord, help me. Now, certainly anybody that's not a bigot or a male chauvinist would immediately say, well, if I'm going to do it, I'll go ahead and do it now. Right? But what did he do? Then he turned and spoke to her.
Yeah.
And said, it is not meet, it is not proper for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Now let me tell you something. You let our Lord appear in this world today and do that very thing.
Yeah.
And they would accuse him of not being himself.
Yeah.
He would be guilty of not being Jesus.
Yeah.
But he was.
Amen.
He was. Now, I'm not condoning bigotry, male chauvinism, and meanness, but let me tell you, I don't go by the world's standards to determine what that is.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a question, was our Lord less loving to her?
No.
Was our Lord less compassionate to her?
No.
Was our Lord sweet and meek and loving to her? Now take it the way I'm saying it. Not in that sense.
That's right. You're right.
Not in that sense. Was he less understanding of her plight?
No.
Our Lord said these words to some people, judge not by appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Amen.
Now, you know how that's generally interpreted. Well, you can't tell who's really a Christian by just looking at them. That's not what that's talking about, folks. That's talking about the very deed you see, and the very, or you think you see, and the very attitude you think you see manifested, the very words you hear said, what you think they might mean, may not be what you think they are.
That's it.
They may not be. Judge not by appearance. Now, you see David go in and grab up the showbread and give it to him and his fellows, his buddies.
Yeah.
And you see that. Well, what's he just done, Neil? He ate that which was not lawful.
Yeah.
But he was blameless. Now, wait a minute. Why? Think about this. Here two guys come in with strange fire, and God kills them.
Yeah.
Right? David comes in, and he's supposed to even be in there. Let alone take the bread off the table and eat it. But he did. But God didn't kill him, did he?
That's right.
Didn't kill him. No, judge not by appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Yes, sir.
There was a blind man sitting by the wayside, and he cried out for mercy. Think about this. As Jesus passed by. Now, most people have the idea that everybody Jesus seen that was sick, he went up and fixed them up.
That's right. Yeah. You're right.
But it says he cried out for mercy as Jesus passed by. Now, our Lord healed him. He certainly did. But another man lay by a pool,
yeah,
hoping to get in at the troubling of the water. There were a lot of others around there. Christ didn't help them. He helped this man only. But he helped this guy without a prior request.
Yeah.
The other guy was sitting by the wayside crying out, Jesus, and then thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they told him, shut up. Don't bother the master. And he cried the more a great. He kept on crying and crying. This other guy didn't have to cry a word, did he?
Yeah.
He just laying there. Christ came over to him, healed him.
Yes,
now you let the world see that. Well, I'll tell you, that's inconsistent. That's preferential treatment. He sure did act different toward one than he did the other. Yeah, he did. But it doesn't mean he loved one more than he loved the other. Or he loved one less than he loved the other. It doesn't mean he was less compassionate toward one than it was the other. It doesn't mean he was less merciful toward one than he was the other. You want to know what a word and what a deed is in truth, look at the heart. And until you can, you don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Was it inconsistent? Was it preferential treatment by this world standard? Yes. But not by the Christ of God. If our, like again, I'll say, if our Lord were bodily present this day, he would be condemned as guilty for not being Christ.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they did the first time. This is not the Christ.
Exactly.
And if you try to be like Jesus, they'll condemn you for, and even in its best, using it the best way, they'll condemn you for not being a Christian. Because you're not a Christian according to their standards.
That's it.
According to their standards. And by their standards, they would be right. Because listen, to try to be like Jesus, you've got to be totally contrary to what the world expects.
That's right.
When the world hears, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. They have a whole different idea of meekness and lowliness of heart than what God's meekness and God's lowliness of heart is.
Right.
Now think about it. Here's just a few more of our Lord's own words and works. You ever heard this? Well, certain, you ought not criticize anybody else's religion. Right?
Yeah.
To be a Christian, you're supposed to not be critical, but be tolerant, loving, compassionate. And our Lord told a woman, he said, you worship you know not what.
That's it, exactly.
As a matter of fact, he even set her up by this world's standards.
Oh, yeah.
He said, go call your husband.
Yeah.
she didn't have a husband. She was living with this fella, which was the fifth one she'd been with.
Yep.
And I guarantee you this. Think about what happened. Think about if you or I said something like that when we knew what was going on. Well, you would be accused of being, oh, boy, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to say that. Well, who says so? You show me where God's book says not to.
Yeah.
Think about it. A fellow come and said, Lord, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Now, we don't know for sure exactly what the situation was because we're not even told.
Yeah.
You know what our Lord said to that man? Man, who made me a judge over you? And then what did he do? He gave a parable about a rich man. And he said, beware of covetousness. And the rich man said, I'll tear down my barns, and I'll build bigger barns, and I'll do all of this, and I'll gain, and I'll gain, and I'll say to myself, soul, you got all kinds of stuff, eat, drink, and be merry, just have a good time. And God says, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And all the fellow was asked was that the Lord speak to his brother that he divide the inheritance. Well, shouldn't we share? Shouldn't his brother have been compassionate and loving? Even if he was the oldest and had a legal right, shouldn't he, Mason, have done that? But what did our Lord do? He warned him about covetousness. A woman stood up, and I don't mean to upset anybody, but she said, blessed are the paps that gave you suck. And our Lord said, no, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
That's right.
He said, that's where the blessing's at. That's the blessing. That's the blessing. I mean, one fellow said, well, you know, I've purchased a piece of land. Another said, purchase some oxen, wasn't it, Earl? Need to go check them out. And one said, Lord, let me go home first and bury my father. Now let me tell you, at funerals and in times like, or you know, anytime you just, oh, now you just, you be kind and nice. You know what our Lord told that man? Let the dead bury the dead.
That's right.
You follow me. That's pretty, now I don't know that his father was already dead. Maybe he was asking to go home till his father had died and he buried him. See, here's the whole point. It's me. Preeminent.
That's it.
There's nobody. And let the dead bury the dead. Now, folks, these things by the world's standards are not kindness, meekness, lowliness of heart.
Yeah.
But this is he who said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
That's right.
Learn who I am. There you'll find out what true meekness is. There you'll find out what true lowliness of heart is. And as believers, while that's certainly a standard that's beyond our reach completely in this life, for goodness sake, let's not use the world's opinion as to what that should be to judge one another.
Yeah, that's right.
The world loves to talk about love, especially them or especially your enemies. You know, and be tolerant, right?
Oh, yes.
Be tolerant. Now, the world's standard of tolerance is a double standard. And here's why. As a Christian, you must tolerate us as we are.
Yeah. That's it.
Right? That's what you got to be a Christian, you got to do that. But they need only tolerate us as we are, what they say we should be.
That's right.
Right? Now, let me just give us all a word of advice here. And it's not mine. I'm just going to read what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I hope this is right. Let me look. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 7. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust in himself that he is Christ, let him himself think this again, that he, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Let me just put it another way. You got no more than I got, and I got no more than you got. There's none of us on a higher spiritual level. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, as these people who were accusing the apostles of this, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. But then listen. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present.
That's right.
But then look, for we dare not. That's pretty strong language. For we dare not make ourselves of that number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Folks, you don't got to be what I think you ought to be.
Yeah.
I mean that at any. You don't have to be what I think you ought to be.
You're right.
You don't have to say what I think you ought to say. You don't have to have the attitude I think you ought to have. Because the attitude I look for, the things I'm going to say, the things I'm going to do are based upon me.
Yeah.
And God, I dare not compare you and make me the standard.
That's it.
And you dare not compare me and make you the standard. We can't do this. These people are not wise when they do this. Because it's a false standard, folks. And it may look real good. It may, listen, it may even solve problems.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it honors God. And it doesn't mean eternal glory is the end.
Right.
Hell, fire, and damnation can still be the end. And I'll tell you this, apart from the love of God in Christ, it will be.
Yeah.
It will be. Father,